Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be taking a look at the following, is it a hot topic? A good topic. The three tenses of salvation. You have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. The three tenses of salvation. Now, I know some of you are thinking to yourselves, wait a second, Andrew. Haven't you been teaching on a consistent basis that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? That is all the sovereign work of God, and that your salvation is absolutely secure. Andrew, we've heard you teach that before, but now you're talking about the three tenses of salvation, that I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Kind of sounds like that your salvation is not secure and that you need to keep doing good things in order to keep and eventually secure your salvation. Andrew, have you become a heretic? No, hopefully not. No. Let me add a couple words to the tenses, and let's see if that helps you understand them. As a Christian, you have been saved from the, write down this P word, the penalty of sin. As a Christian, you are being saved from the, write down this P word, from the power of sin. And as a Christian, you will be saved from the, write down this P word, the presence of sin. You starting to get the idea? Let me add a few theological words to each tense. Ready? Christian, you have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's called justification. Christian, you are being saved from the power of sin. That's called sanctification. And Christian, you will be saved from the presence of sin. That's called glorification. Are you starting to understand the three tenses of salvation? Well, let's now back it up with Scripture. Please open your Bibles and turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. A great example of our first tense or past tense, that as a Christian you have been saved, by the way, once for all time, you have been saved from the penalty of sin. Christian, you've been justified. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Look what God declares about you, Christian. That there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christian, you will not be condemned on that day. Why? Because you have been saved from the penalty of sin. Once for all time. You have been justified, declared by God, not guilty, and righteous in his sight. Not because we're perfect, but because of the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. There is now, Christian, while you're still here on earth, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stay in chapter 8, just hop over to verse 33. Paul continues in the power of the Spirit. Christian, who will bring a charge against God's elect? The answer is no one. Why? Because God is the one who justifies. Verse 34, Christian, who's the one who's going to condemn you? What's the answer? No one. Why? Because Christ Jesus was condemned in your place. Christian, on that cross, your sins were placed on Christ, and God's just, holy wrath was poured out on Christ instead of on you. Christ bore the, here's the P word, the penalty of sin, of our sins. He bore and satisfied and appeased God's wrath towards us, the sinners. Jesus declared, paid in full, tetelestai, once for all time. The penalty's been paid. Jesus died. 3 days later, he rose in victory, demonstrating that that which he had declared, paid in full, by rising from the dead, he demonstrated clearly that he did that. Where there's sin, there must be death. But where there's no sin, there's no death. By rising from the dead, Jesus demonstrated conclusively that he paid the penalty for your sins, Christian, once for all time. Christian, you have been saved from the penalty of sin, justification. Again, verse 34, who's the one who condemns? No one. Why? Because Christ Jesus was condemned in your place. He died. Yes. Rather, he was raised from the dead, and he's at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for you. Christian, you're not perfect here on earth. Yes, God declares there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The penalty's been paid by Christ. But we still sin here on earth, right? Well, guess what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing in heaven right now for you, Christian? He is interceding on your behalf. He is your advocate, declaring to the Father, I paid for that sin. I paid for that sin. Again, verse 33, who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? The answer, no one. Why? Because God is the one who justifies. Who's the one, verse 34, who condemns? The answer is no one. Why? Because Christ Jesus, he was condemned for you. He died and he rose from the dead, paying for the penalty of your sins in full in terms of that day of judgment. And he's at the right hand of God interceding for you. That's why Paul could declare verses 37 through 39, in all things, Christian, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Paul said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why could Paul make that declaration? That nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because, Christian, you have been saved from the, what's the P word? Penalty of sin. Once for all time. Christian, you have been, what's the theological word? It begins with a J. Justified. Where God declares there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? So, You've been saved from the penalty of sin. But as I just said a few moments ago, we still sin because we still have a sin nature. Well, the next part of our three tenses. Christian, right now in the present, you are being saved from what? The power of sin. This is called the process of sanctification, where you are becoming, in the power of the Spirit, more and more Christ-like. Stay in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 29. For those whom God foreknew, foreloved, chose before the foundation of time unto salvation. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Do you see it? You have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification. Now, that process of being conformed as a born-again believer more and more into the image and likeness of Christ, you are being saved more and more from the power of sin, sanctification, where you are becoming more and more Christian, conformed to the image of Christ. You're not going to be Christ, but you are becoming more and more Christ-like, where the Holy Spirit sanctifies you. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability more and more to say, listen, no to your sin nature and yes to the Spirit, right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul, in the power of the Spirit, declared, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. You've been saved from the penalty of sin. You've been justified. But we all, talking to believers, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Do you see what Paul says here? As believers who have been saved from the penalty of sin, we are in the process of being saved from the power of sin, where we are beholding the Lord as in a mirror. As we read the scriptures about our Lord, it's as though we see him in a mirror, and the Holy Spirit works through the Word to transform us, to make us more and more Christ-like. Again, saying no more and more to the power of sin and saying yes more and more to the gracious and glorious Holy Spirit. Do you see it? That's sanctification. And again, go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Justification is monergistic, meaning only a work of God. You and I do not contribute to our justification. But sanctification, once you've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, sanctification is synergistic, where we as believers participate in this process of becoming more and more Christ-like. We participate with God the Holy Spirit. And verses 12 and 13 are great verses to show you that synergistic process of sanctification. At the end of verse 12, Paul says, to believers, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Notice he doesn't say work for your salvation. No, because you can't, right? work out. He's talking to people who have already been saved from the penalty of sin. They've been justified. They're now in the process of sanctification. And as believers, we have a role and responsibility to work out our sanctification with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Well, God in His grace has provided various means of grace, such as reading scripture, worship, prayer, celebrating the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism, fellowship, and even church discipline. Theologians refer to these things as the means of grace, where the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ, has given to His church means of grace to help us work out our salvation, that process of sanctification, with fear and trembling. As we read the Word, as we worship our Lord, as we pray to our Lord, as we celebrate the sacraments, as we fellowship with the Lord's people, and as we submit to the Lord of the church and the elders He has appointed to maintain the purity, unity, and sound doctrine of the church, as we're involved in the means of grace, the Holy Spirit works through that to make you more Christ-like. So in the process of being saved from the power of sin, we have a role. Again, end of verse 12. To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But we don't do this by ourselves. Verse 13. For it is God, through His Spirit, who is at work in you, Christian, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. What's His good pleasure? We saw that in Romans 8:29. To conform you into the image and likeness of Christ. Do you see it? And so, let me just get us caught up here. Three tenses of salvation. You have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's called justification. Once for all time. And that was the sovereign work of God alone. Monergistic work. But Christian, you now are being saved. From what? The power of sin. God the Holy Spirit lives in you. But you still have a sin nature, unfortunately. But the more you are involved in that process of sanctification, making use of the means of grace the Lord of the church has provided, as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you can count on God the Holy Spirit to do His part, to will and work in you for God's good pleasure. So that more and more in this process of sanctification, you are being saved from the power of sin. Go to Galatians chapter 5, another great example. Verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul, speaking to believers, really giving them a command. He says in verse 16, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, your sin nature. For the flesh, your sin nature, sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for they are in opposition to one another, right? And as we walk by the Spirit, as we live by the Spirit, and we do this on a constant basis, again, fulfilling our role in sanctification through the means of grace the Lord provides, what ends up happening, Christian, is over in verse 22. You start to bear the fruit. By the way, notice fruit, singular. Ninefold manifestation of the one fruit. Don't ever say the fruits of the Spirit. That's not accurate. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. Look what happens when you walk by the Spirit. You're saying more and more to your sin nature. Look what ends up happening. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you see it? You are being saved from the power of sin. As you walk by the Spirit, you start to more and more bear the fruit, the ninefold manifestation of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And you are saying no more and more to the power of sin. That's the process of sanctification, right? You have a role in it, and so does God the Holy Spirit. But it is guaranteed that you will be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ, right? So, Christian, you have been saved from the penalty of sin, justification. Christian, you are being saved from the power of sin, sanctification. And Christian, you will be saved from the presence of sin. That's called glorification. Do you get it? Hop over to 1 John chapter 3. John describes this wonderfully. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, again talking to believers. He said to them, in the power of the Spirit, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. I mean, think about it. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. God, through Christ, declares about us, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us? That we, born-again believers, would be called children of God, and such we are now. Do you see it? Now. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, verse 2, now we are children of God, right? Because we've been saved from the penalty of sin, justified. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. What we're going to look like exactly in glorification. But we know when He, Christ, appears, judges the living and the dead, ushers in the eternal state, we will be in glory with Him forever, glorified soul, glorified body. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Again, Christ-like. We won't be Christ, but we will be Christ-like. And we will see Him just as He is. Because we will be saved from the presence of sin. Glorification. We will not have a sin nature. We will not be surrounded by sinners. We will not be living in a sinful, fallen world. That's why John says, we know that we'll be in glory, but we're not quite sure how that's going to look. What he means there, I think, very simply is this. I don't know how Andrew will be in glory, because Andrew now only knows Andrew as a sinner, right? What am I going to look like in glory? What am I going to be like? I know I won't have a sin nature because I will be saved from the presence of sin. I won't have a sin nature. Nobody in glory will have a sin nature. There will be no sin. There will be no death. There will be no disease. There will be no crying, no mourning. We know that because Scripture tells us that, but what exactly is that going to look like? I tell my wife, Danielle, all the time, when we get to glory, Danielle, if I don't recognize you immediately, don't get upset, because, Danielle, I only know you as a sinner. And she goes, yeah, it's the same with you. In fact, I'm not going to recognize myself initially, right? Because I only know me as a sinner. That's what John meant in verse 2 when he said, now we're children of God, and it's not yet appeared what we'll be. We know we're going to be in glory. We know we will be saved from the presence of sin. But how exactly is that going to look? He says, we know that when Christ appears, we're going to be like Him. So we know that. And we're going to see Him just as He is. Can you imagine seeing our Lord and Savior in glory? You're not going to need glasses because you're going to have a glorified body. You're not going to be confused because you're going to have a glorified mind. You're not going to be distracted because you're not going to be living in a sinful, fallen world. You will see Christ as he is. Because on that day, Christian, you will be saved from the presence of sin. Hop over to Revelation 22 as I bring this to a close. Wonderful, most incredible picture of glory. The eternal state. Revelation 22, starting in verse 3. In glory, there will no longer be any curse. Oh, I can't wait. How about you? And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have the need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And then verse 6, we're told, these words are faithful and true. Oh, Christian, do you understand the three tenses of salvation? You have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification. Christian, you are being saved from the power of sin. That's sanctification. And Christian, you will be saved from the presence of sin. That's glorification. And this is all of God's amazing grace to you, Christian. And our only response is all glory and all honor and all praise to our majestic and merciful triune God. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at PastorAndrew@AOL.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.